This podcast, I want to talk to you about finding great satisfaction in just the process of training yourself, of making progress from where you're at today to becoming a little bit better. And why this is so important, because there's going to be ups and downs in your life. There's going to be ups and downs in your physical ability. Of course, I think we're all anticipating having some sort of decline as we get older. But even on the way there, there's going to be times where we're able to get stronger, and then there's going to be times that we get knocked down by illness or injury. And we can get easily caught up in this expectation that it's only good, I only label what I'm doing as good if I've made progress over where I was a month ago or a year ago or 5 years ago. You know, really, logically, we know that that's a losing game anyways. But we do need to have a sense of destination, going somewhere, some sense of achievement, in order to have structure to what we're doing. You know, we need to be building skill and building strength, even if that gets knocked down from time to time and gets knocked down gradually towards the end of our life. So we know that's a reality, but the antidote for it is to be present in this moment right now. And I know that's very cliche. People say, oh, be present, be in the moment. You know, don't dwell on the future too much or the past. We kind of understand that, at least give lip service to it. But in a very practical way, emotionally, it is very useful to us to really be focused on a smaller time frame when we're thinking about progress. So, like this last winter, I got knocked down a bit. We had some illness in the family in January, and people were sick, and my family, and I had to take care of them, and I got ill, and so it just was harder for me to stay into my training, and I got knocked down a bit, and then I had some achy spots that I had to work out, got help from the PT, so I just got knocked off track of the progress that I was making in those winter months, and so I had to start over again, I fell back quite a ways in the springtime when I was able to start up again. But being knocked down like that wasn't discouraging to me. It wasn't devastating to me. I was like, no, okay, all right. If here I am today, I'm ready to start running again. And I just got back into my process of gradually building up, recognizing, acknowledging, and accepting where I was at today, and then setting a plan to just gradually start expanding upon that ability, that fitness, and that skill. And just the process itself was satisfying to me. And so I'm going along, and so I'm not walking around feeling anxiety or stress that, well, oh, I'm getting so much better and I'm getting stronger and I've got this goal coming up. I'm going to run this certain longer run. You know, as a matter of fact, in a few days, I'm going to run a 30 miler, my first 30 miler. But I'm not feeling stressed out, like if something comes up and I all of a sudden it interrupts me from being able to do that, or I got a setback physically somehow, I'm not emotionally going to be hurt by that. I'm just like, oh, okay. Well, I was looking forward to that, but this is what it is, and now I'm gonna do what I need to do for my body and rebuild it again, get back into place. So just have a very calm response to the ups and downs that I've been facing. And that's come, I think, from, you know, practicing this mindset. Well, I've got a couple other swimmers that I know right now. I just met with one of them just a little bit ago, and I just corresponded with the other one by email. So one friend in Istanbul, he broke his wrist a few months ago, and he hasn't been able to swim. But the thing is, the last couple years, his fitness, his ability to swim further and to swim faster has just started to rise. He's finally had the roots sunk deep enough. He's finally invested enough in the fitness bank, and now there's starting to be a payoff, and his times are dropping, and he's getting stronger, and his sense of capability is growing. And now he's talking and thinking like a very serious, very capable long distance swimmer. I'm very proud of him. But then he goes and he breaks his wrist right when he's looking forward to doing these big things this spring and this summer. But here I correspond with him, and he writes me, and he basically says, you know, Matt, I broke the wrist and I couldn't get in the pool for a while, but you know, I finally could get back in the pool, but I couldn't swim. But all I could do is just like one arm activities or do these little drills. And he was explaining how incredibly rewarding it was just to get back in the pool and start discovering these new things about his body and his positioning that he wasn't appreciating previously because he was busy training on a higher level. And so instead of being discouraged by that, he's just like, his fascination with movement and with the skillfulness of it is just increasing. And he's not even swimming yet. I mean, he's still just doing drills because that's all he's capable of doing until these next few weeks when the doctor clears him to put normal stresses back on his wrist. So, I mean, he's totally grabbed on to the joy of just the process of building and the process of rebuilding, the process of getting back up when you've been knocked down a bit. He just likes the process. He's learned to enjoy it. He's learned to find satisfaction even when there's limitations on him. And now I just got done meeting with another swimmer that I've been training, and he is 69. He has Meniere's disease, where that something happens in the brain and you lose your hearing. It knocks your hearing out. And when your hearing goes out, it knocks out your balance. And so he has not, basically he was a great athlete and a runner and a triathlete, and he could swim pretty well. And then when this hit him about 3 years ago and he lost his hearing, it's like he had to completely relearn how to run and relearn how to swim. And I've been working with him for about a year now and helping him gradually rebuild his ability to balance and stabilize himself and then to coordinate his movements to swim again. Well, you know, we're making progress. It's slower than it is with just somebody who has the full brain capabilities, because his brain is having to search around and readapt and find new ways to accomplish the tasks that you and I can do a bit easier because we have that balance and that balance mechanisms in place in our ear, and he doesn't. But anyways, every once in a while, he has what he calls his Meniere's episode. Something happens. He's not quite sure what, but for him, and it sounds like it could be different triggers for different people, because I have a couple of swimmers who have Meniere's and they're deaf. So he has these episodes, and he doesn't have, and it basically just knocks him down. He just has extreme nausea and he can barely do nothing. He definitely can't like go running. He can't swim at all. Sometimes he's up all night throwing up, and it's just really miserable. I mean, but he can't do anything to stop it. It just finally calms down, and then he gradually has to kind of resume his activities, and he loses ground. And sometimes it happens for a few days and he's fine. But well, this last time, it's been 7 weeks now. He basically accidentally hit his head on something and it set off the dizziness. And it just made it really bad. And it's been the worst that it's been. And it's gradually getting better now after 7 weeks. And we just sat down, we're talking about it. And, you know, I was telling him the story here about my friend in Istanbul, and I was telling him about my own experiences, you know, just when I get knocked back and I feel these setbacks and I've lost ground in fitness or development in some way. But I can let go and just get back in the pool. And we're talking about that, and he just starts smiling, and he's like, and we realize, both of us, we both have both of those forms of pleasure coming to us. We both like achieving something and aiming after a goal, but then he's also really starting to embrace the pleasure of just practicing, of just building skill. Because you know what? For the last 3 years of his life, that's what he's had to do. I mean, he had most of his ability to walk stripped away. He had all of his ability to swim stripped away. And as a 60-something-year-old, he's had to like go back to kindergarten of movement and rebuild these things. And it's very humbling. But he's been so dedicated. He's gotten in the pool and he's just fallen in love with the act of problem solving and then working with the coach and acquiring new understanding. And then him and I have to experiment and find out, you know, little tricks and tools to allow his brain to figure out the body positioning and the movement patterns, because the standard tools may not work for him so well. And so he just gets in the process, and then an episode comes and he's knocked down for a week or so, and then he gets back up and he rebuilds a bit and he goes about it some more and we make some progress, and then this big thing comes and he's knocked down for 7 weeks. And you know, it can be really discouraging, but he's not merely tenacious, you know, like, I'm gonna conquer this thing. It's more like he's really able to get back up because he just loves being in the water. As a matter of fact, when he took, he told me this with a sparkle in his eye. He says, "Matt, I just love moving." He said some years ago when he was married, you know, his wife said, "You know, if I let you, you'd probably just live at the gym, wouldn't you?" And he's like, "Yes." You know, he's not a meathead. As he said, his words, "I just love moving. I just love moving my body." And that's how he expresses himself, and that's how joy comes to him. And so I just thought that was so wonderful that we could share that, and wanted to share that with you, because guess what? There is ups and downs coming if you haven't experienced them yet. And there's times you just get a cold and you can't exercise, you can't get out for your run, you can't do your workout that you normally do, or there's going to be an injury, or there's going to be age related things that come along, and you're going to find certain limitations coming, and temporary or longer lasting. And it's going to be really discouraging for us if we don't have a way to just take what that is and turn it back into something that can give us satisfaction. So if your happiness, your satisfaction is based on reaching some ultimate goal, like being able to run a certain distance or swim at a certain speed, that could be obstructed by a lot of things. It's very possible that could be obstructed. But if you derive pleasure from the act of assessing where you're at right now and finding a way to make some progress, take one or two steps ahead during this practice or during this week, then you will never be absent. You'll never lack fuel for your satisfaction, because every setback gives you puzzles to work on. And as a matter of fact, you get to review puzzles that you solved previously, and you have to go back, re-examine them, and bring your body back through the same process you experienced previously. But you'll be wiser when you do it. You'll be smarter. You will understand your body better. You'll understand your mind better. You'll know the process better. So you'll be more skillful at how you go about that process. And of course, when we do something, a task, and we're more skillful at it, that's also pleasing as well. It's like, hey, I'm getting better at this. So instead of evaluating yourself based on your ultimate performance as far as distance or speed, think of it in evaluating yourself based on your ability to adapt and to reprogram and to learn. And if your satisfaction is mostly anchored to those things, then you've got something that's going to give you satisfaction all the way till the very end of your life. And if you need some inspiration for that, some very tear-jerking inspiration for how to just grab onto a challenge, even when you're really set back, go listen to the additional 5 or 10 minutes tacked on to the end of Tim Ferriss's interview with TI coach Terry Laughlin, and where there's a recording of Terry after he had his stroke in the last two weeks of his life on this earth, where he is describing his process of learning how to sip water from a straw, because the stroke that he had had incapacitated his brain and he couldn't do that, and he needed to learn how to do that. So he went and applied his learning technique to learning to drink from a straw again. And that is the epitome of finding pleasure in every little challenge that comes your way. All right. I hope you find that inspirational, and I hope that you look at your next or present challenge and see the opportunity in it for you. All right. Go it. Go do it. Talk to you later.